Good evening. Tonight's shiur was titled, those of you that got the text message, The Yankee Pastime. It's holding between the World Series and Thanksgiving. There's a shaila that was written to Rav Moshe Feinstein. There's an issue of leselach b'chukes hagoy, having a turkey Thanksgiving dinner, if we're going to a baseball game. If Moshe is matter than both, mitzad the issue of leselach, but we'll go into his tshuva drop further in a few moments. The parasha says, "Vayetze Yaakov mi be'er shava vayelech charona." He left be'er shava and he went to Charon. He's running away from his brother. He was instructed from his mother, flee, get out of here, run. Your brother's going to kill you. And she tells him to go find a shidduch. Rashi says, Vayetze Yaakov, why does the pasuk have to say that he left and he went? You know, when you're going somewhere, you're leaving the place where you started off from. What's Vayetze Yaakov? We're all familiar. Rashi says, Lo yoyetzarach lichtoi v'la vayelach Yaakov korono. You should just say he went to Charon. Why does he have to mention the fact that he left? When a tzaddik leaves someplace, it leaves a roshim. He leaves his mark. When a tzaddik's in town, who hayda? He's the glory of the town. Who ziva? He's the shine of the town. Who adara? That's the pride of the town. Yotza misham, when he leaves, pana haida, pana ziva, pana adara. So when a tzaddik leaves a place, he leaves his mark. Remember of Shmuel Birim, Mount Zetzal, and Rebbe? A few times I've heard him speak about this Rashi. A number of questions on it. But one of the questions, a very simple one, is not only is he tzias tzaddik oisa roshem, tzias rasha is also oisa roshem. So long as Hitler was around, he was the fear, and he was the everybody was dead scared of him, and the tsaris and bravo. And he left, and Baruch Hashem, he's gone. The wicked witch is dead. We're all happy. It's also oisa roshem. What does it have to do with the tzaddik? You could have a big businessman who's nishkein tzaddik, nishkein rasha, but lamaisa he's paying for a lot of services in town, and he walks out of the economy, he dies. It's also oisa roshem. What does this have to do with a tzaddik? A tzaddik? Anytime somebody's a little influential in a place and he backs out, he's going to leave a roshem. So why does the Medrash say that Yitzias tzaddik oisa roshem? Oh, Yaakov was a tzaddik, so when he left town, it made a big roshem. We know that in between Yaakov's leaving Be'er Shava and arrival in Charon, he stopped off a little bit, took a little break. You know, something like, you know, you're going through Borough Park, you're passing by your grandmother's, and you know, she makes a little kugel, so you know, just pop in for some kugel. So Yaakov was going from Be'er Shava to Charon to get a shidduch, and you know, he's passing by Yeshiva Shem Be'Ever, may as well pop inside and learn for 14 years. And when we say learn for 14 years, we know that Yaakov Avinu, the pasuk says, Vayishka b'mokim ahu. After learning the 14 years, he was passing by the mokim, the Beis HaMikdash, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the sun go down, and he lay down because he understood it's a siman min hashamayim, that there's something supposed to be going on in his dream. So he lay down. And where Medayik Rashi says that this is the first time Yaakov laid down since the time he left home. 14 years, if he dreamt at all, and if he slept at all, it was on his fender. He didn't go to sleep. You guys remember Shavuos? Maybe some of you a little closer, Hashanah Rabbah, stay up. What the next day looks like, or what the next day doesn't look like. Yeah, and then you recuperate for the next week. And we dribble a little also, Shavuos, not even Hashanah Rabbah. Okay, it's Nishkin Kasha, Yaakov Avinu, nobody's expecting anything less from Yaakov Avinu. Hey, he was Yaakov Avinu for a reason. He was great, he was mamash like a malach, 14 years straight, no problem. But isn't it strange that the pasuk doesn't say it? Nothing. A little diyuk in Vayishkav b'mokem ahuu, and that was only in reference to the sleeping. Doesn't tell us what he was doing in 14 years. Tell me, he sat alert to Kailo 14 years. That's a long time. 14 years, and he's not even married. He's on his way to find the shidduch. 14 years. It wasn't just stopping off in Baruch Park for Kugel. And the pasuk doesn't mention it. The pasuk doesn't even hint to it. Chazal figure it out of a whole cheshbon. If you go through all the years of Yaakov Avinu, we notice that there's 14 years missing in his lifetime that has not been discussed in the Torah. And Chazal figure it out. Oh, that's where it is. It's over here. Those 14 years were here. And what was he doing the whole time? He was learning. How do we know he was learning? Because the only thing that could have saved his life and not been punished for not doing the Kibud Av Ein. So must have been during those 14 years learning. And no mention. 14 years sitting in Kailo, still I hate, no mention. Bothers me. So getting back to the Igros Moshe. So the question was, can we go to a Yankee game, Met game, any game you want? Is there a problem of Loiselech Bechukais Hagoy? You're going in the ways of the Goyim. A nice big fat turkey dinner. Is that going in the ways of the Goyim? And Rav Moshe's tshuva to both of them is, that's not Loiselech Bechukais Hagoy. Loiselech Bechukais Hagoy is not to go Bechukais. A chayk. We all know there's a difference between a mishpat and a chayk. Mishpat is something we understand and has some kind of logical reason behind it. And a chayk is something that we don't understand. It's something that's unexplainable, a mystery. The Torah's iser is don't follow in the chukais hagoy. Don't follow in the strange, mysterious, illogical, seemingly unreasonable customs of the goyim. But something that the goyim enjoy playing a sport, and you know, you want to go and relax and watch the sport. That's not loiselech b'chukais hagoy. It's explainable. It's logical. They enjoy themselves. You root for the team and hope they win. That's not loiselech b'chukais hagoy. Turkey dinners, big deal. What's a chuk? There's no chuk. There's no chayk. It's not an unexplainable law. The iser is only to follow in a strange custom of the goyim. What's pshat of that? Rabbi Ruchim Lavovitz in the Das Torah, in Parshas, in both, by Loisel of Chukas HaGoy, Rabbi Ruchim says that if you find that the goyim have a certain custom, something they're drawn to unexplainably, it's coming because the spiritual nature of that goy is connected to that custom. There's something mystical behind the scenes that this ummah has a connection to this custom, and it's dangerous. It's got mystical, spiritual, dirty problems over there, and a yid can't go, and he's not allowed to follow in the chukais hagoy, because the chukais hagoy specifically, these unexplainable customs that they have are very dangerous. It's poison for a Jewish soul. It gives chizik to a goyish soul because he's connecting with his source somehow, some unexplainable reason. But for a yid, it's mamash poison. That's what it means. Loiselech b'chukais hagoy. Don't do the things that the goyim do without unexplainable reason. And Rabbi Ruchim says every single ummah has this. Every one of the shivim ummahs, every one of the 70 nations, they have something that they're drawn to. Something that they connect with, they bond with, for an unexplainable reason. Every single nation has. Okay, so it's not turkey. It's not baseball. Not sure exactly what the American chayk, I don't know what it is. But before looking at the grass on the other side, maybe we should look at our own grass. What's Klai Yisrael's chayk? Is there anything that we feel unexplainably drawn to as a nation? Is there anything that, without any reason, hey, we all do chesed, but for a good reason. You can't say chesed is unexplainable. Klal Yisrael, we love to do chesed. There's nobody out there like Jews when it comes to chesed. It's beautiful. But that's for a good, explainable, logical reason. No less than baseball. So what is it that we can say about ourselves that we have a chayk that we should naturally be drawn to and attracted to without any explainable reason? Davening? It's explainable. It's logical. What is it? The Rosh Yeshiva Zatzal, Rav Shmuel Birnbaum, he one time commented to Rav Steinman, when Rav Steinman was in America, they had a little schmooze. Rav Steinman was walking him out of his house, out of his host's house, and Rav Shiva asked Rav Steinman, so how's Torah growing in Eretz Yisrael? And Rav Steinman said, Baruch Hashem, Torah vaxed, Torah's growing. Rav Steinman said, no, and was nach Torah in America? He was expecting to hear a real big, you know, failing report. And Rav Shiva said, Gevaldik. Yeah, this is. He said, Torah vax do in America? Torah is growing here in America? Nach de Mulchama? Azoy vi far de Mulchama in Europe. Torah is growing in America post-war? Like pre-war Europe. Steinman was pretty surprised. I was there for this. This Matt, he was behaved. I was there for this. Steinman was pretty surprised. But the conversation went on. We couldn't contain this, us Bachrim. We all pounded the Rosh Yeshiva the next day in Yeshiva. It was a Thursday, Friday, right after the Muslim was in Yeshiva. Whoever was crowding around the Rosh Yeshiva at the time, we all came running up to the Rosh Yeshiva and says, come on, Rosh Yeshiva, you really think that Torah is growing now? Come on, like. And he said, yeah. So why? He said, in America, there's much more siyata d'shmaya for the growth of Torah. And the reason why, he says, because in America we have big nisyonos, we're challenged. And in Europe there were no challenges. In Europe there was no challenges. Poverty, hunger, mulchama, war. People were walking around without any family. It was horrible. They mean no nisyonos, no challenges. Shiva looked at us. Like, only he could say this. He says, without food, without money, without family, and without a home, what else should you do besides learn? There was no nisayin. You couldn't make it big in business. There was nothing else to do. You wanted to be a little who's who. You wanted to be a little in with the guys, whatever. You sat down, you learned, and you were a success story. But there was nothing else to do. I don't mean Chas v'Shalom to put down anybody in Europe. You're gemaldik. But just the perspective of a gadol. He says, in Europe, what else should you do? You worked a little if you were able to. You put together whatever few pennies you could and your business. And you scraped it. And that was it. What else was there to do? He sat and learned. So of course, people came away knowing Shas. He says, in America, he said, the Bachrim have been good to cap. They can gain to college. They can go to college. They can get themselves a degree. And they can buy themselves fancy cars. And they can go out at night to the ball games. And they can go to, you know, the theaters. There's so much available for anybody in America. You're dealing with real nisyonos here. Real challenges. He says, America, the Torah is vaxing like crazy because Hashem is giving unbelievable siyata d'shmaya to whoever Taka decides to dedicate his time to learning. My father mentioned it briefly last week in passing, but it used to be the mentality of a yid was, what else do you do in your free time? You learn. There was nothing else to do. You finished your day's work and you learned. What else? People that were capable of in-depth learning learned in-depth. People capable of lighter learning, they learned in Yaakov. People that even that was too hard, they said to Ilim. But what else did you do? There was nothing else to do. You sat and you learned. Sokhtu Abiruchim. You know what Klal Yisrael's pastime is? You know what Klal Yisrael's chayk, something that we're drawn to unexplainably? Talmud Torah. The Torah says in Bechukosai Teilechu. What's Bechukosai? What's my Chayk, Hashem says? Shetiyu Amelim HaTorah. That is the Chayk. That's the nature. The natural attractant to a Jewish soul is Torah, unexplainably. Because we're not talking about just learning halacha that you need to know, the practical applications. Limud HaTorah is something that's a chayk. You're supposed to learn as much as you could, any time, any subject, even if it's not in a Gaela Maisa. So learning Torah is the chayk of a Jew. That is what is a Yid's pastime. It might not be the Yankees' pastime, but it's the Yankel's pastime. That's the chayk of a Yid. The chayk of a Yid is Talmud Torah. And when they were coming out, all the, now we have the, all the Matzah Shabbos Aves Ubanims. Pizza, prizes, tickets, you name it, you're there. Gewaldig! So I saw one sign up in a certain shul, and it had like, I don't know, 12 weeks, you know, for sponsorships, you know, please, you know, looking for sponsors. And then there was like on the bottom of the list, three more lines. And it says, if Tati wants to learn more, there are three more weeks available. Scary. Are we so used to having side incentives that Torah became not our nature? We need programs to draw us into the learning? Are we so out of touch and so removed because we're living amongst the Goyim and free time? Hey, come on, this is my free time. That it became that learning is only like if my chavrus is there and he's waiting, or if there's a program out there and there's a, you know, something's going on, hey, I'll go learn. Torah is the natural pastime of a Jewish soul. There were a few Baal Batim that approached him, Shmuel Birnbaum, Zitzal, and he asked him, he said, you know, come on, why doesn't Meir Yeshiva get on with the show? You know, all the other yeshivas, they go to camp in the summer, and they have yeshiva in camp. Regular Siddur, Mainas Dharma, everybody goes for a swim or something, you know. But regular Seder, why don't we go and buy? And they put together the money. They were going to buy a campgrounds for Mir Yeshiva to go up to the mountains and have yeshiva throughout the summer, like a number of other yeshivas do. And the yeshiva told them no thanks. What was this question? He said, you know, you're right. We'll go up to the country and we're going to have the same Siddurim. Let's say there's not an ounce of Bittul Torah that goes on. Everybody learns just as much as they always did in the city. He said, if we go up to the country, there's an automatic program in your heart. And that is, whatever I do here is voluntary. I'm a volunteer. Ich bin a größer Tzaddik. Look at the weather. Look at the grass. Look at the... And I'm going to the Beis HaMedrash. He says, someone has to ensure that Klal Yisrael still remembers that Torah is our duty. And who's going to remember that if not for us? That's what the Rosh Yeshiva said. Everybody's going up to the country. Gewaldig! But somebody's going to sit in the city and say, I know it's harder to do it in the city and it's not so comfortable, but Torah is our duty. It's our call to duty. Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, "And l'marat haTorah harbe." If you learned a lot of Torah, al tachzik toivel la'atzmacha. Don't take any pride for yourself. Ki l'kach noitzarta. For this you have been created. I'm assuming that when the Mishnah says, "Im l'marat haTorah harbe," it means harbe. It means by Tanoim standard, harbe. It's like a lot of harbe. It's a lot of Torah. And on that, the Mishnah says, don't take any credit for yourself. That's what you're here for. And as I've heard from, I don't remember who, but a marshal, you're not going to pride yourself. Wow! This pen writes! It's unbelievable! This pen writes! It's this was the best deal I'd ever gotten. The pen writes. Now, if the pen could talk, well, if the pen shoots lasers and all the other things pens could do nowadays, that's something to pry the pen with. Wow. That's not what a pen is normally supposed to do. But nobody's going to take pride in the pen by the fact that the pen writes, because that's what it was made for. That's how we have to view our Torah learning. That's what's natural to us. That's the norm. That's what we're here for. Of course we learn. When the Rosh Hashiva Zatzal was Maspid Rav Shach, I don't remember what point it was, but he had mentioned to Rav Shach something that Rav Shiva looked at as being an astounding form of Avodas Hashem that Rav Shach had done. And Rav Shiva mentioned something that he was surprised, whatever it was. And Rav Shach says, "Was heist? Shteita zayin Shulchan Aruch." What do you mean? Shulchan Aruch says that he's supposed to do this. Like, what's the question? And Rav Shiva's whole hesped on Rav Shach was that at least Rav Shach, in his own eyes, he didn't view himself as doing anything special. He was just keeping Shulchan Aruch exactly what the Shulchan Aruch says. Nobody could say for somebody to keep Shulchan Aruch, whoa, he's unbelievable. It's Shulchan Aruch. I mean, come on. Expect Shulchan Aruch. Plain and simple Shulchan Aruch. Expect the Jew to keep Shulchan Aruch. And the Shiva added in his hesped that there's a danger for us to go and look at these things as being unbelievable, because then we detach ourselves from it. We say, wow, that's special. That's for special people. I'm going to push it again. And the truth of the matter is, a lot of these things are not for special people. They're for us. Yitzias tzaddik oisa reisha. The definition of a tzaddik is not what we commonly call a tzaddik. The definition of a tzaddik is what Chazal call a tzaddik. V'ameich kulam tzaddikim. Every Jew, if he keeps Torah, is a tzaddik. Tzaddik means righteous. You're doing what's right. Plain and simple. A chassid is someone who does lifnim mishur tzaddik. He goes above and beyond the letter of the law. A tzaddik is someone who keeps Shulchan Aruch. V'ameich kulam tzaddikim. All of Klal Yisrael, we're hoping, can be considered tzaddikim. Sakrashi, Yaakov Avinu left town. Yitzias tzaddik, oisa roisha. You know something? You don't have to wait for a rasha to leave town for him to make a mark. When he's in town, he's quite noticeable. When that very influential guy is sitting there running all the businesses and keeping the economy going, when he's around, he's noticeable. You don't have to wait for him to leave to take notice. But a tzaddik is nothing special. He's just keeping Shulchan Aruch. You don't notice him when he's around. He's just doing what he's supposed to be doing. But when he leaves, his imprint is recognized. When he leaves, suddenly you notice an absence. That's what Rashi says. Yaakov Avinu went to Yeshiva Shein Ve'Ever for 14 years and it's not mentioned. It's nothing special. He had some time on his hands. My shidduch could wait 14 years. What else should I learn? Twiddle my thumbs. Make some money. Go learn. The Torah doesn't mention the basics. It's simple. It's pashut. He had 14 years on his hands. Go learn. The Vayishkav was a little a chiddush. The fact that he didn't sleep in 14 years, that's a chiddush. And that the Torah mentions with a diuk, the Vayishkav amokeh mahu. Now he went to bed and until now he didn't. But the 14 years learning, it's no chiddush. That's run of the mill. You got time on your hands, you go learn. Yaakov was a tzaddik. He just did what he was supposed to be doing. What I'm trying to bring out is not that everybody's supposed to be running around with a sefer right now in the street learning. What I just want to bring out is to bring back to Klal Yisrael's memory the mentality is that Torah is not volunteer, and Torah is not like an appointment that you make with an employee. Kriyas Itim is very important, but it's not just bound to Kriyas Itim. Kriyas Itim is you're making an appointment, but this is our nature. Chafetz Chaim lists in one of the Isurim of Lashon Hara, he lists as one of the Averis that a person is over when he says Lashon Hara, he says is the Aver of Bittul Torah. As the Pasuk says, V'dibarta bam, Chazal Darshan, V'dibarta bam, V'dibarta b'dvarim elu. These words. V'loi b'dvarim b'telim. Speak in these words. This should be a shmuzim. V'loi b'dvarim b'telim. And it's a mitzvah, says Zedai Raisa, and somebody that goes and has no reason to shmooze, and he shmoozes, he's over, and a mitzvah, Zedai Raisa. Now, I'm going to give you the flip side there. Mashkiach and Mir Yeshiva of Erlanger, when he was newlywed, he went back to his old yeshiva, Ber Yaakov, in Eretz Yisrael, where his shver, Reb Shlomo Volm, was the Mashkiach. He stayed over by his shver for a Shabbos a little after he was married. And it so happened to have been that there was another great Rosh Hashiva that was there also for Shabbos, basically a classmate of the Mashkiachs, a very well-known Rosh Hashiva nowadays, Rabbi Eliyahu Ber Vachtfeigel, Rosh Hashiva of South Fallsburg. I can't say that the two of them have the exact same personality at all. And they probably weren't the best of friends as classmates, but they were acquaintances. And after davening in yeshiva Friday night, they both noticed each other, and they went up to each other, and they made a little small talk. Shalom Aleichem, Masmachtu, you got married just recently, I got married just recently. And they were making some small talk, and they were sitting by the table right next to them was the classical yeshiva's Elta Bacher. And this guy in yeshiva, he was already pushing 40, still never married. He was the guy that always used to give mussar to all the other guys in yeshiva, you know, and patch him up for bottling and this. He used to put everybody down. And he was sitting right there when the Mashkiach and Rabbi Eliyahu Ber Vachtfeigel were making some small talk. And the Mashkiach and the Vachtfeigel were much younger than him. And he looks up at them. And he says, excuse me. He turns to Mashkiach. He says, are you interested in his life? Mashkiach, not really. He turns to Rav Vachtfeigel and he says, are you really interested in his life? He says, not really. So then what are you guys doing? Sit down and learn. Mashkiach said that he was always mispoil from Rav Eliyahu Ber Vachtfeigel's response. In a second, in a flash, he said as follows. You're right. I'm not interested in his life. He's not interested in my life. They said, if we don't make small talk now, we'll never be able to make big talk in the future. And that holds true with a lot of what we do. A lot of what we do is not called bittul Torah because it's considered a need. We have to be social. We have to interact. We have to shmooze. 100%. These things are considered derech eretz katmuah Torah. We need them. So what I'm telling you is not on a practical level what you should be doing, but just in terms of a mentality that it's not free time. It's with the cheshbon. It's with the cheshbon. Our time has to be used properly. We're not volunteers that when, you know, we got our kriyas itim, we got our shir once a week, whatever it is. Lekach leitzarta. We know that an Evan Ivri says, kol ha-koina Evan Ivri, kilu koina odin la'atzma. You buy an Evan Ivri, it's your worst investment in the world. You buy an Evan Ivri, you got to give him the best steak, the best pillow, the best bed in the house. You got to take care of him like a king. So Chazal say, you buy an Evan Ivri, it's like you bought yourself a master. It's not a very smart idea. If you got it, you got it. Maybe it's a mitzvah if a guy needs parnasa. But you're buying yourself a master. So an Eved Ivri is treated very, very well. Yet we find an interesting halacha that an Eved Ivri, so long as he was previously married to a wife, he had a family, says the master can assign him a shifcha knanis, Shvatz, a slave of his, for them to be together at night so that the master can have children and slaves. Because the children of such a bond will be slaves, will be children of the shifcha, they become goyim, goytis, and they will be avdei kananim to the master. So the master can assign a shifcha knanis to his eved ivri, something which normally is 100% completely usher. A yid that goes and has a relationship with a goyit that is kanoyim poigim boy, we kill him. And here, the guy's an eved ivri, and he can marry a shiksa. So the Chofetz Chaim says, you see from here what a terrible thing it is, geneva, that leads a person to be sold into an eved ivri, that he goes to such a spiritual low that even this is okay for him. Moivi Rabbi or Shmuel Birim Ben Zatzal had a slightly different take, and he said a beautiful part. He said the reason why it's also for Yid to have relations with a shiksa is because it's called znus. It's called znus. Besides the fact that it's with a shiksa, znus is also with anybody. Znus is also. It's in the Torah, la'siya kadesha, la'yiya kadesh. A man can't have just this freestyle relationships. You want a relationship? You get married. Settle down. But an Eved Ivri, he's not doing this as a freestyle relationship. This is part of his servitude to his master. This is not freedom. This is not hefker. This is slavery. It's avoida. An Eved Ivri, it says, he's oivid by yoyim va oivid by laila. His chiyuv to his master, he has no free time. His master's got to treat him like a king. But he has no free time. Even his nights belong to his master. And therefore, part of his avoida is nighttime. And at nighttime, there's a specific avoida, what he's supposed to be doing at night. We're avodim ivrim. We could treat ourselves like kings. We could make panasa, and we could take pleasures in life. We could spend time. We can play ball. We could schmooze. But our time is not free. It's not free. There has to be a cheshbon. There's responsibility. Oyved b'yoyin, oyved b'alayla, l'kach noitzarta. We're here to serve. And our natural attractant and pastime and things that we're supposed to be spending time on is Talmud Torah. L'kach noitzarta. The description that the Pasuk gives in last week's parasha between Yaakov and Esav, is Yaakov was Yoishiv Oil, and Esav was an Ishsada. Yoishiv Oil, that's what Yaakov is. It's Yoishiv Oil. He's got free time? Yoishiv Oil. What's Esav? Besides all the terrible riches of Esav. Who is Esav? What's the Torah's description of him? Ishsada. Ishsada. He was a man of the field. Shoot the wind. He was a man of the field. That's what he was. He liked the moss and the outfield. That's what he was. In last week's parasha, it says that Esav was so upset at Yaakov that he said, as soon as my father dies, I'm going to kill Yaakov. Except that the pasuk uses a reference to the days of Yaakov's, of Yitzchak's death. As Yikrevu Yimei Evel Avi. May the days of mourning of my father come, and then I'm going to kill Yaakov. Zok the Targum Yonis in Benuziel. Why is he saying the days of mourning of my father? When my father dies, I'll kill Yaakov. He didn't want to kill him in front of Yitzchak. You know, he was Makban and Kibra of Eid. Just say when my father dies. What's Yikrevu Yimei Evel Avi? When the days of mourning of my father come? Zok the Targum Yonis in Benuziel. That's the only time I could catch Yaakov not learning. That's going to be my only opportunity. While he's learning, I can't kill him. The Torah is going to protect him. It's going to be impossible. And that's the only time I'm going to find him not learning. During Avelos, he's not allowed to learn. Yikrevu Yimei Evel Avi. In the days of mourning on my father, Yaakov's not going to be learning. I'm going to chapen. That was it. There was no other time to find to kill Yaakov. I was in court this week. Nothing major, Baruch Hashem. In the summer, I passed the stop sign. So I went up to Monticello on Friday to court. While waiting around for the judge, there was somebody there that lives in Monticello helping me commiserate with me. And he started making small talk with the court officer. The court officer was dressed in plain clothes, but he was wearing a pistol. So he started chepping him about the gun. Why are you wearing the gun? You're in plain clothes. And he and a hair and a permit. Interstate permits. And just local permits. And whole conversation about guns. And I'm sitting there trying to write notes. I was learning, but it wasn't happening. The guns was interesting. And he turns to the court officer and he says, how'd you get this permit to be able to carry the gun in plain clothes? So he said, the way he put it, the only good thing Bush ever did was he passed the law, and he gave the number of the law. He was very well versed in it. He passed the law that any retired cop can keep a gun with him for the rest of his life. Could be it was a 9/11 response. Not sure. But I took a different lesson from it. To a certain extent, a cop is a cop till the day he dies. At least that's what you hope. He's a law enforcement officer. He becomes who he is. He becomes who he is, and you can't take that away from him. He's been in service for however many number of years. It becomes part of him. He's a law enforcement officer. You can't take the gun away. That's who he is. He's got to keep it with him. Because wherever he goes, in any circle, in any part of life, he is a law enforcement officer. That's the chayk of a cop. That's the chayk of a yid. We walk around, you always got a dvar Torah in your back pocket. You find a friend you haven't seen in a while. Nu, what did you hear on the parsha today? Want to hear something I heard on the parsha? You go into the car. AM, FM, none of this stuff. What do you mean? This is who we are, Torah. We have so many tapes and CDs and USBs and you name it. We got it all nowadays. There's so much pleasant Torah that we could hear in the car. Who needs the radio? We have to get that mentality. And again, I'm not telling you on a practical level how much to learn. Again, everybody has needs. And part of your needs is socializing. Part of your needs might be taking off and relaxing a little. I'm not discussing on a timely basis how much. But it's a mentality that it should be with a cheshbon. I've got time. I don't need to just, sit around and do nothing right now. I could listen to something. I could read something. I could look up a word. At least one sefer should make it onto the coffee table. It doesn't only have to be magazines or books. It's going to be a sefer also. Once in a while, you're not so schwach. You can pick up a sefer too. An English one, a Hebrew one. It's got to make it into the collection of CDs, a couple of shiurim too. It can't be that all our free time is just free time. We don't have free time. We're hired. The dibar tabam, v'lei b'dvar metel. We're hired. And it's our sense of duty. It's our sense of service. This is who we are. This is Klal Yisrael. I was thinking that perhaps might be the danger of these programs with kids. We bring our kids for the Avi Subanin. But it's dangerous for the kids to think that Torah only has to come with a program. Shabbos afternoon is also some time for Torah. Friday night, where there's no programs out there, there's also a little time, especially now, the early Friday nights, to learn with a kid. Learn with a chavrusa. Doesn't have to be with a program. We got some free time. It's relaxed. It's quiet. We can learn a little. It should be natural to us. And it shouldn't be something that we only have a specific, dedicated little time fragment that we give towards it. We should all be zeichet to be yoshvei aholim, and we should have all the schoolas of Torah.